This is the Media in Ministry column. It's written for us by Monica McFadden, who is a communication specialist with ELCA Donor Communications. She's entitling it Creating Spaces for Authenticity. It's an interview with pastor and author Emily Scott. When Emily Scott started dreaming up St. Lydia, an ELCA congregation in Brooklyn, New York, that worships around a dinner table, she didn't know that she would help spark a dinner church movement that would spread across the country. Her new memoir, For All Who Hunger, Searching for Communion in a Shattered World, it focuses on the humble beginnings of this ministry as she explores her journey, planting a new form of church among the buzz and commotion of New York City. Living Lutheran spoke with Scott about how her book covers loneliness as a young pastor, learning how to engage with the past and present of her congregation's neighborhood, and how she led her quirky, budding community through it all. Living Lutheran asks, For All Who Hunger is about providing a unique faith space in a busy, often anonymous city for people who are lonely, but it's also an exploration of your own need for community and love. Could you talk about that? Scott replies, I feel really glad to have had the chance to share some of what it's like to be a younger single pastor. I think sometimes younger clergy are asked to carry a lot of weight in the church. They're supposed to be rescuing the church, but also everyone's kind of annoyed at them because they're millennials and they want to do things kind of differently. So there's a lot of conflicting messages coming at younger clergy. For a lot of younger and single clergy folks, there's a tremendous amount of sacrifice that takes place to serve a church that doesn't always get named. And there's also a sense of becoming quite isolated from your peers as a clergy person. It puts a bit of a wall between you and the other people around you, and there's a sense of isolation. So I think it's helpful to start a conversation about that reality because it helps people feel less alone in all of that, and it helps the church understand that the particular nuances of a younger clergy's experience, which is really important. Because it is an experience that a lot of folks, especially younger women, share and also feel they can't talk about. We ask, as you write about the process of dreaming up St. Lydia, you ask, is it possible to create a church that's made of real life? What have you learned is necessary to do so? She responds, Well, what comes to mind for me is a comment that one of my congregants made, and she had grown up in a quite evangelical context. She felt that there was this divide between who she was on Monday through Saturday and the person she was supposed to be on Sunday when she came to church. It almost felt like when she came to church, she was being asked to hide pieces of herself that were too raucous, and she said, I've been so happy at St. Lydia's to find a place where who I am on Saturday night can be the same as who I am in church on Sunday. There's nothing about the louder, brasher, funnier parts of ourselves that God doesn't embrace or connect to, and I'm really interested in creating spaces where there's a sense that all the sides of yourself are equally embraced and visible. We ask, what do you think it is about a dinner church format that creates those spaces? A piece of it was an environment that was participative. It was all set up in a way that allowed us to learn from each other. And I tried to really embrace ambiguity. Different people would share their stories as a part of the sermon, and I tried to never wrap that moment up in a neat bow and said, well, this is the moral. This is what we learned. I really let the edges be a little raggedy because that's life. That's our theology. The sense that we don't always have it all figured out and don't always have the right to dissolve every dissonance. It's also being around the table, you know, cooking, sharing. There's a lot of laughter, a lot of connection. There's a lot of humanness that was taking place in church, and we were marking all of that as sacred with our liturgy. I think there was a blessing of ordinary real life, humanness that allowed people to feel at ease with their full sense of self. We ask, has the COVID-19 pandemic made you reflect differently on For All Who Hunger? It's been kind of an ironic time, she said, for the book to come out because it's so much about community connection and this physical, visceral closeness around tables. So I think in some ways that's been kind of painful because now we can't have that. But in another way, I think the book has been able to offer people that experience of feeling close and finding communion even through the pages of a book. So that's been really powerful.